beloved Queen. We are going to start. We have a new king. We're going to start by singing the first verse of the national anthem. Then I've got a few words to say and a short prayer to follow before I hand over to Richard. So if we can have the national anthem, then it would be good to stand, wouldn't it? When we look back at the Queen's reign, we see, I believe, a tremendous person. The great thing, I think, about her reign was the servant reign that she gave. She was a servant to the people. The Albert Hall, and our present Queen was then Princess Elizabeth, and a few of us were asked to stand at the entrance where they stepped down. You've probably seen those stairs, there's several of them, and I didn't know when we stood there that Princess Elizabeth and her lot were going to come in through that door, and that was probably the closest that I had with her. But the way she has reigned has been an example to all people. Humility and a care beyond all that others might have given. So I think we mourn a great person. She had a great faith in our Lord, a faith that never wavered, although there were problems, that faith never wavered. She was loyal to the end, and we should be joyful that she is now with the Lord that she sought to serve. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, please meet with us in our sadness and grant us your peace. We thank you for Queen Elizabeth. We thank you for her wonderful reign, a reign full of humility. We pray especially for the royal family and our new king, and we ask that they may meet with you and find in you peace and strength. And for our nation, as it adjusts to the news, and for the Commonwealth, grant us knowledge of your presence with us this day. Lord, hear our prayers, which we bring in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you, Richard.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Richard.
Jilly sends her love. I've just met her and Robert in the car park to drop off these things, and they're on their way to the airport now. So, they'll be back in early November. So we're going to start off with rousing hymn to God Be the Glory.
Atonement for sin and open.
things they have done. Redemption, the righteous of God, to every believer, the promise of God, the vilest offender who truly believes, the moment from Jesus, the pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, to Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Great things He has done, and greater rejoicing through Jesus the Son. The purer and higher and greater will be our wonder, our rapture, when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He hath done. Praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give Him the glory, great things He has done.
And we're going to continue in that vein with He is Exalted.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I praise Him. He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. Praise Him, He is exalted forever, exalted, and I will praise His name. He is the Lord, forever His truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in His holy name. The King is exalted on high. He is exalted, the King is exalted on high.
And now may we come to our Lord in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and most loving God, we come before You this morning We want to praise you. We want to praise you for who you are. We want to praise you for all that you do. For you are the one and only true and living God. You are responsible for creation. You are responsible for birth. You are responsible for new birth through the sacrifice that Jesus made on the cross of Calvary. We thank you, O God, for all that you do in the world that you have created. And we pray that it might be a world where peace shall reign, where war shall come to nothing, where peace shall be. Lord, for that to happen, all leaders of all nations need to be able to work together in harmony and in peace. Lord, we pray for unity. We pray for an end to all terrorism, to all those horrible things that can so easily happen in a world. Lord, may your peace reign. We pray for the leaders of nations. We pray for all those in authority. We pray, Lord, for those in authority worldwide, nationally and locally. Lord, we thank you for those who serve in your name. And we pray, Lord, that you would give them your wisdom and strength, that they might stand fast in what they believe. And Lord, we pray for our own country. We pray, Lord, for the royal family. We pray, Lord, for all people in Parliament. We pray for all people in county councils and local councils. Lord, they all need your wisdom. And Lord, we pray for your church throughout the world. Lord, may it continue to increase. We pray for your church here in this country. Lord, we pray that you would help us all, that we might be filled with joy and willing to share the truth that we hold with those who do not know you. Lord, help us, for we have a special treasure. We know about your love. We know about your saving grace. And Lord, we need to share it. Help us to share it. Fill our lips with your words. Fill our lives that they may follow the example that Jesus himself has set us. May our faith grow stronger and stronger, and may we always be your faithful servants. We pray for those in need. We pray for the dying. We pray for those that have recently been bereaved. We pray for those that still feel the loss of loved ones from previous times. We pray, Lord, for those that are unemployed, for those that are homeless, for those that are sick, for those that are suffering from terrible diseases. Lord, we pray for those who are living in poverty. We pray for those who are frightened about the future. Lord, we ask that you would meet the needs of all people. You are a God of love, and you love all people. And we need to remember that it is your will that none should be lost, but that all should be saved. And we have a big responsibility in that realm, so help us to be faithful. Lord, we pray for our own family and friends. We pray for each other. Be with us all. Hear, Lord, in a moment of silence, our private prayers. We bring you, Lord, prayers that are heard, prayers that are offered to you in silence. Lord, hear our prayer and let our cry come unto you. These and all our prayers we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus, our Saviour. Amen. Let us say the family prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Forever and ever. Amen. Thank you, Richard.
Well, this is a beautiful song written by Graham Kendrick, and Gilly saw that the words in this were appropriate for the reading and the message later. So, there's beautiful words in it, beauty for brokenness.
Us content with the things that we
change a love from a song to a flame. Lighten our darkness, breathe on this flame until your justice turns bright again. Until the of your ways, seek your salvation and bring you their praise. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. Melt our cold hearts, let tears fall like rain. Come change our
going to bring our reading for this morning. Thank you, Jean.
The Bible reading this morning, as you can see, is from James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27, headed Listening and Doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Again, Jilly chose this one, having read the reading and seen the title of the message, she had a look at the words in this one, thought they were lovely words. So I'm hoping that some will know this one. It was sung by Amy Grant.
Unto my feet, and a light unto my path.
As we look at James chapter 1, verses 19 to 27, the title we have is The Dangers of Self-Deception. Verse 22 from that reading: Do not merely listen to the world and deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And verse 26, if anyone considers himself religious and just does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. If a Christian sins because Satan deceives him, then that is one thing. But if he deceives himself, that is far more of a serious matter. Many people deceive themselves into thinking that they are saved when they are not. Matthew 7, 22 and 23. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers. Now James, in these verses, explains that we have three responsibilities towards God's word. And the first one, verses 19 to 21, is receive the word. not just read it, receive it. The first test of salvation is surely fruit. This means a changed life. Christian character and conduct and ministry to others in the glory of God is the fruit that should be seen. This fruit might be winning souls to Christ, growing in holy living, sharing our material possessions, having a spiritual character, be involved in good works, and even praising the Lord. My friends, religious words may be manufactured, but they do not always have life in them, nor do they bring glory to God. The Word of God cannot work in our lives unless we receive it in the right way. If the seed of the Word is to be planted in our hearts and in other hearts, then we must obey the instruction that James gives us here. A, he says, be quick to listen. We have two ears and one mouth. Too often we argue about God's word. He says also, be slow to speak. Do not get angry about God's word. A poster read this: temper is such a valuable thing, it's a shame to lose it. It's a shame to lose it. And then he says, accept the word that is planted in you. You see, James saw the human heart as a garden. How do we prepare the souls of our heart for God's word? We must confess our sins and we must seek the Lord's forgiveness. If we meditate on God's love and grace and ask Him to prepare our hearts by getting rid of any hardness that is there, then this is what James is calling for. Accept the word in an attitude of meekness, in an attitude of humility. So, number one, he says, receive the word. And then here's a challenge, isn't it? Verses 22 to 25, he says, practice the word. James now compares the word to a mirror. As we look into the mirror of God's word, we see ourselves as we rarely are. And you know, there needs to be self-examination, doesn't there? Do not merely listen to the word, says James, and so deceive yourselves, but do what? Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do it is, he says, someone who looks at his face in a mirror and then, sorry, and then this is what he says in verse 24. They look into a mirror and after looking at themselves, they go away and immediately forget what they look like. And verse 25, he says, but whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, then they will be blessed in what they do. You see, James deals with some mistakes that people make as they look, if you like, into God's mirror. They only glance at themselves, they forget what they see, and they fail to obey what the word tells them to do. You know, after examination, after we have examined our heart, as we've examined what our faith is really like, what follows is what we would call restoration. You see, God's word not only examines us, but it reveals our sins, and it helps to cleanse those sins as well. John 1, verses 8 and 9. If we claim to be without sin, and deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins, and purify us from all unrighteousness. But if we stop with examining ourselves and stop with restoration, we will see, surely we will miss, the full we will miss the full benefit of all that we've seen. In other words, if I can put it like this, if we examine our hearts, as we look into the mirror, if you like, of our hearts, and we see ourselves, and we go away and forget it, or even if we accept some kind of restoration, that is not enough. There needs to be something extra, and that is transformation. And you know, when I look at my own life, that is the biggest wonder that I see God doing in me. Yes, I know, and I accept the forgiveness. It's wonderful. It's wonderful what Jesus did for us on the cross. But if we stop with the examination and restoration, I say it again, we will miss the full benefit of what we've seen. Transformation, my friends, comes after the Lord restores us. You see, he wants to change us so that we will grow in grace and not commit that very sin again. The Spirit works in us to change us as we read and obey God's word. Psalm 139, verse 21 to 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Verse 24. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me to the way everlasting. I said a moment ago that what I see in the way God has transformed my life, well, it's a miracle. Only God could have done it. The last one we had received the word, and we had practiced the word, and number three, share the word, verses 26 and 27. I don't know whether you realize this, but the word religion means the outward practice, the service of a God. Pure religion, however, has nothing to do with ceremonies, temples, or special days. Pure religion, my friend, means practicing God's word and sharing it with others. Through speech, for instance, verse 26, as we see, the tongue can cause problems. Therefore, remember, it is the tongue that reveals the heart. If the heart is right, the speech will be right. And in the weeks to come, we've got a lot more to say about the tongue. or at least James has. And then there's service, verse 27. As we see ourselves in the mirror, so we must see the needs of others. Isaiah first saw the Lord, then himself, and then he saw the people to whom he would serve. Yes, once we have been transformed, we have a duty of seeing the need of those who do not know our Lord. And then there is separation, still verse 27. James is saying that we should keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. And when James says the world, he means society without God. Satan is the prince of this world, and the lost are children of the world. We true Christians are in the world physically, but we are not of the world spiritually. We need so much to remember that, don't we? We're in the world physically, but not spiritually. We are sent into the world, why? To win others to Christ. It is only as we maintain separation from the world that I think we can truly do that. If we're too much of the world, then we won't be able to share the truth of God's word in an appropriate way. So, let me just share this with you. Lot, father of God at the time, first then pinched his tent toward Sodom. Then he moved to Sodom. And before long, Sodom moved into him. And he lost his very testimony. You know, the best way to serve the needs of the world is to be pure from the pollution of the world. And so can I say again, that we are in the world, but spiritually not of the world. We are in the world to proclaim Christ, to share the good news. By grace, we are saved through faith. And how can people have faith if they do not hear the truth? I'm sure that each one of us know people who are lost in that sense. What are we doing about it? Yes, speech is one thing, my friends, prayer is another. I won't give up praying for two people within our wider family. I pray every day that they will come to faith. And I won't give up praying. And they know I'm praying. It can be hard, but you know, God is faithful. I remember one person who we prayed for years ago, and it probably took about 5 years before they came to faith, and we hadn't stopped praying. God is faithful. We must be faithful in our service, whether it's through the word, whether it's through speech, whether it's through the way we live and our example, or whether indeed it is through prayer. God will answer. It is the Lord's will that none should be lost, but all saved. But the challenge is this. God has left to us as his ambassadors the message of salvation. Praise be to God. Amen.
Well, before the communion, we're going to sing Here Is Love, Vast as the Ocean.
just as the flood. When the prince of life, our ransom, shed for us his precious blood. To his love we'll not remember, who can cease to sing his praise? He can never be forgotten.
Before us is what we call the table of the Lord. The call for us to come and take bread and wine comes from no other person but from Jesus himself. And we remember, don't we, those wonderful words, "Do this in remembrance of me." Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that you gave your life, your body, your blood so freely for us. Help us as we partake of this communion, of this bread and wine. Help us, Lord, that we might do it truly in remembrance of all that you've done for us. And we remember also why you have done it, that we might be your ambassadors out in this world. In your name we pray. Amen. So we remember that Jesus took the bread. He said, "This is my body which is given for you. This said the Lord Jesus, do in remembrance of me." Oops. We remember that Jesus also took the cup. He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This," said Jesus, "do in remembrance of me." We hold the The blood of Jesus, our Saviour, was shed for us and for many for the remission of sins. Let us drink and be thankful. As we come, Lord, to the close of our worship, we have remembered the world. We have remembered the people in authority. We have remembered the people who have many, many needs. But now, Lord, we want to remember those who serve those who are in need, those who protect us, those who care for us. We think of our police service. We think of our fire service. We think of the NHS, for the doctors, for the nurses, for the consultants, for the carers, for all those people that are out there, volunteers, helping others. Lord, will you be with them and care for them, we pray. And help us, Lord, that we might truly be your ambassadors, that we might share the truth to those who are lost. In your glorious and wonderful name, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Richard.
Pilgrim through this barren
strength and shield. Be thou still my strength and shield.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Oh, thank you.